Okay, so last Sunday was Pentecost Sunday, which comes 7 weeks after Easter. And in the New Testament, that was the day when the Holy Spirit was poured out on all people. All followers of Jesus received the Holy Spirit. All the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit on that occasion. So that would have been last Sunday. Now, in church tradition,
the Sunday following Pentecost is called Trinity Sunday, when we think about, as you might guess, the Trinity. So, it's sort of back. So, that's what we're doing today. As you might have gathered from all the little side bits, we're talking about the Trinity, that God is three in one. And your head should hurt if you think about this too hard, because it's bigger than what we can work out. So the Bible reading is Matthew chapter 28, the last few verses.
Matthew. Not used to flipping through my Bible while I'm standing up. All sorts of habits have gone out the window. So it's Matthew 28, verse 16 to the end of the chapter. The end of Matthew's Gospel. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." I've also forgotten how to juggle all my bits, apparently. Here we go. Okay, so there's this doctrine called the Trinity. And it's not that somebody came up with the idea of, why don't we have a Trinity? Nobody's ever had one of those before. It was because the revelation that God has given us of himself is that he is one, but he's also three. And the ways in which he is one are different to the ways in which he is three. In the Old Testament, it's very definite. There is only one God. The basic creedal statement of the Old Testament is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one, and you shall have no other gods before him." So what the Old Testament affirms over and over and over again, what God said to the people of Israel over and over and over and over again, is there is one God. Yet in millions of places, did I really write that in my notes? I did. Millions of places in the Old Testament, dozens at least, there's this hint. Oh, squeaky shoes on stage. This, so many bad things are happening. There's this hint over and over again that that it's not that simple, that we saw on the What's in the Bible clip, that it talks about the Spirit of God. And so that suggests that, yeah, there's God the Father, God the Spirit. And then in other places, it talks about the angel of the Lord, which Jewish scholars, or Christian Jewish scholars, say refers to Jesus before he was born, so God the Son. And we get other signs of that in the creation account. You've got the Spirit of the Lord hovering over the surface of the unformed world. You've got the name of God in the Old Testament, Elohim, is actually plural, so it suggests the gods, which suggests, you know, multiplicity, but God is one. So God is one and yet is more than one. And that's there right through the Old Testament. And then, of course, when we get to the New Testament, we get those explicit statements that God is both Father, not both, but he's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and yet one God. And we just read one of those. There's another one at the end of 2 Corinthians where it says, I had this in my head. Just look at the end of 2 Corinthians, chapter 13 somewhere. It's the blessing at the end of that. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. But right through the Gospels, you have instances like when Jesus was baptized, Jesus is the Son of God, and you have the Holy Spirit comes on him in the form of a dove, and a voice from heaven speaks out, this is my beloved Son. So the Trinity's there, and all we can say is that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are three aspects, three persons of God. They're all equally God, and they abide together, they live together in a community of love. Now, there might be more than three. All we can say is the Bible's revealed three. And there's all sorts of analogies. Margaret Baxter shared a couple there with the orange. What was the other one? The shamrock. Margaret Bates shared her parable of the boxes there. There's a couple. The trouble with those inanimate analogies is that God is alive and God is a person. So the closest analogy that I could think of is that we as people are made up of bodies and soul and spirit. So, but that falls down because you can't separate your spirit from your body, otherwise you're dead, I guess. But again, so we've got these limited analogies. Water is another one. Water exists in the form of ice, water, or steam, and we know that's a familiar connection to us. What you may not know is there's a thing called the triple point, which is about 0.4. I can't remember if it's 0.4. Yeah, it must be 0.4 degrees and a whole heap of pressure. And then the water doesn't care whether it's ice or steam or liquid water. It just all exists in equilibrium. And again, that's another analogy that people have used. And let's face it, it's just hard. We just have to accept that God is bigger than we are and more amazing than we are. Oh, gosh, fallen behind with slides a bit, didn't I? Okay, so why do we need to know this? Well, we need to have an accurate picture of who God is. If we don't have an accurate picture of who God is, then we end up worshipping a God that's not God. And when you do that, you become, because we become what we worship, then you become something that's less than what God is. So why is that important? Well, there is a difference between the God that the Christians worship and the God that Muslims worship. And that flows out through their doctrine to their way of working, the way of living. There's a difference between us and the 300 million gods that the Hindus worship. And that works out in the way that we live and where we put our faith. So this is really important, even though it's really weird and tricky. What does it tell us about God? He's more complex. He's more amazing. And he's trickier than we think is possible. Okay, gone too fast now on the slides. He's more complicated, more complex, more amazing than we can imagine. And if you think about it, that is what you would expect of the God who created us, that we would not be able to fully comprehend who he is. And so we need to praise him for who he is and not who we imagine him to be. I've written there. Okay. Relationship is the next issue with God. We need to relate to God in the fullness of who he is. And so we have the Father, who's God over us. He's the creator. He's the sovereign. He's the judge. And then we have Jesus, the Son, who is God with us, Emmanuel, if you remember back to the Christmas readings. He's our Redeemer, and he has poured out his life for us in costly love. He is the one who enacts the rescue plan in the what's in the Bible language. And then we have the Holy Spirit, God in us. And that's God changing us and making us more like him. He's equipping us to be the people that represent God in the world. And he is preparing us for the ministry that he's called us to and preparing us to be in heaven, to be perfect, as our Father is perfect. And so, if we think about these different ways in which God reveals himself to us, we can relate to him as God over us, God the Father, God the awesome, holy Judge. We can relate to him as God the Son, who laid his life down for us. And we can relate to him as God the Holy Spirit, just constantly listening to what God is saying to us and trusting him to use us for his glory. So there you are, the Trinity for Dummies, all explained. Any questions about the Trinity that you didn't previously know? Cool. They've communicated perfectly, and you've listened perfectly. So, this stuff is important in the sense of that's the way God has revealed himself to us, and so we need to worship according to that. And you're not going to be struck down if you just always pray to Jesus. You're not going to be sent to hell for always praying to the Father or the Holy Spirit. It's just that you have a less rounded relationship with God than you might have. Let's pray. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God, you are bigger than we can imagine, and you are more complex than we can understand. Lord, when we try to understand these things, the character on the film said, our heads begin to hurt. And it's true, because we can't contain you into our limited minds. But Lord, I pray you give us greater understanding as the years go by. Give us a more perfect understanding of who you are. And Lord, bring us to that place of accepting of who you are. And so, Lord, I pray that the love of God and the grace of the Lord Jesus and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will be with us all now and always as we walk deeper in you. Amen.